This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is back. The 2025 MLB season is upon us. So what's the easiest way to keep up with all the big stars, top scores, and fun storylines from the night before? What's the solution? Is there a secret?
Chocolate milk and squats. That's the secret.
Not quite, Pete, but there is the Morning Lineup podcast. A quick, less than 10-minute morning highlight show from MLB. It airs Mondays through Fridays on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. You bring the chocolate milk, we'll bring the baseball news.
The following show may contain adult themes not suitable for children.
Shut the hell up.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk.
It does go well with a chicken.
I didn't know hanging out with you was making me smarter.
Full disclosure, Morty, it's not. Temporary superintelligence is just a side effect of the mega seeds dissolving in your rectal cavity.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And once those seeds wear off, you're going to lose most of your motor skills, and you're also going to lose a significant amount of brain functionality for 72 hours, Morty. Starting right about now.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk is brought to you by Pub Beer, the official beer of Cheap Fun.
Only you. Only you.
When you're about to call.
You surround yourself with turds, you're headed towards turd.
Come on, Rob!
You know.
You want the nutty!
There's probably six or seven guys I can name that I would rather do.
Spit on that thing.
Dude, Chinaman is not the preferred nomenclature.
The only thing better than mauling a small dog is getting fingered while you do it.
She got off. Great ass!
Nerd! It's called sports. It's called baseball in particular.
I love Tesla.
It goes drip, drip, drip.
Welcome back to our program. It's nice to have you along.
Yeah. Some of you.
Yeah, not all of you.
Nah. Some of you are real jerks.
Yeah, say but you can listen anyway.
Mean and hurtful things.
Yeah, some guy's been all over you today.
Yeah, your lackluster ahoy got us all started here.
Yeah. People are cranky.
Oh,
do it anymore, you're going to have problems.
I do love when people take the time to write in about something that they don't like about you.
That
thank
really
whiny bitch. Thank you for
thank
taking
you,
the time.
Bye.
Again, I feel like if I apply myself, I can be a completely different person just for you. Google me, bitch.
Who cares what people say? I have two collective fingers for them.
Except now we're talking about rosé and nuggies, and now I kind of want rosé and nuggies. We got warm box rosé, but I got no nuggies. Maybe a stop for a pre-dinner chicken sammy on the way home.
Maybe John D. can bring you the Wendy's.
The Wendy's spicy nugget is a good nugget. It's not a bad little. It's not a bad little nuggie. But if I'm going like the Chick-fil-A, they make the strongest bird in the game. Like if you're talking,
that's correct. Strongest chain bird in the game.
It's
no question.
It's the strongest bird.
Somebody told me that the other night at dinner.
You've still never had Chick-fil-A, right?
No, I've never had it. But I proceeded with my opinion, which I have given many times here on this program.
Yeah.
That how good could it be? It's an effing chicken sandwich.
Yeah.
And that did not go over well.
No.
Well, the floor on a chicken sandwich is very low. Because chicken sandwiches can be horribly, horribly bad. With bad bread,
saying,
bad breading.
Well, sure. Look, I'm not saying that all chicken sandwiches are the same. They're not.
No.
Some are better than others.
You're just saying
what I'm saying is that the base of the chicken sandwich is just chicken. It's all the same.
It should be easy, but it's not. A lot of fast food places screw it up, and not Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, that's a silly statement to say that all chicken sandwiches are roughly the same. That's ridiculous.
No, I didn't say that. I said the chicken of the chicken sandwich is the same. All chicken sandwiches are different.
No, because some chicken sandwiches are made with rat ass and donkey teeth. I'm sorry, you go get yourself a McChicken sandwich, and then you go get yourself a chicken sandwich from Chick-fil-A or Popeyes, and tell me if
that
is not...
What are they doing to that chicken?
It's a different kind of chicken.
It is not a different kind of chicken.
It is.
It's
more
chicken.
Moist. It's better seasoned. It's cooked better.
It's breast meat. Again, lack of pelican teeth in there.
It's not rat ass, as Sue said.
Yes. The rat ass content has a huge...
What was it, rat ass, and what kind of teeth? Bird teeth or something?
Donkey teeth, donkey pelican teeth, yeah. Whatever you want. You mix them in there. Yeah, whereas one, you get like a... like the Chick-fil-A is like a big fat breast, and it's delightful. Whereas like you get some other ones, and that's just compacted, just goo. That's like saying... a nice like slab of oak is the same as particle board. It's
yeah, it
just
can
not.
Be processed or overprocessed or underprocessed. Like that's a thing that you'll get like chicken-like substance, and
so
it might be chicken, but it's like they've just cut up a bunch of chicken and then mashed it together to make a patty. Whereas there's the one that's like that's a chicken yeah. breast.
So you're saying it's well cooked chicken
and well
prepared,
well sourced.
Chicken.
Yes, well sourced, well produced. Yeah.
Yeah. Like not all beef is the same beef.
It. Well, that's true.
Yeah, if we
so
had
it's
a,
like that.
If we had a chicken off and I brought you in several chicken sandwiches, immediately you would be like, yeah, that's not the same chicken.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I still think that it's only going to be marginally better based on what you put with it.
Yeah.
And that's just, you know, that's just fact. It's
Should we
science.
Do a head-to-head chicken sandwich taste test?
A here? Couple years ago, people were dying in the chickening over the Popeye's chicken sandwich.
Yeah, that one dude was crying.
People died. People were murdered over the Popeye's chicken sandwich. Sorry, not all chicken sandwiches are created equal.
Well, no, not all chicken sandwiches are created equal, but all chickens are.
Hmm. I disagree. Sweatshop chickens.
That's my point. Now, yes, I mean, it's like steak in a sense that, you know, not every cat, you know, like there's different cuts of meat from the cattle.
Yeah.
You know, it's how it's prepared, how it's, you know, aged. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of different variables. But I think there's more in steak than there are in chicken. Are there not?
Well, it's a larger animal, but still.
Yeah. But I just
it's
mean,
an ignorant statement to say. Like, that's like saying steak is steak, chicken is chicken. No, it's not.
No, I think steak is not steak, but I do think chicken is chicken.
And that's
an ignorant
you're
opinion. It's an ignorant opinion.
Do you want to hear just how much one man loved the Popeye's chicken? We have that audio.
Yeah.
Sure.
And the tears... from my sweat and my tears taste like chicken. They got a pickle on that chicken sandwich. They got a pickle. Listen to me. They got a pickle on the chicken sandwich that tastes like chicken. The pickle tastes like chicken. You hear me? They got some buttermilk bread.
It's hard not to eat.
It's buttermilk bread. And the bread is so soft that it just melts in your mouth.
Loves it.
Yeah.
Who is that?
That was the guy who loved the Popeye's chicken.
He needs
he
to get
crying.
Out.
He was in tears.
Well, yeah, we got the fat kid that was like, it's chicken. That guy waited in line. I think that was Chick-fil-A. That little fat
no,
kid.
He said Popeyes.
No, but the little fat kid waited in line.
Eardrop. It's chicken drop.
Yeah.
It's chicken.
That's the little fat kid waiting in line for Chick-fil-A.
Well, again, get out more. It's just a chicken sandwich.
And again, the Chick-fil-A, man, they got that nice buttery, like they do that butter bun. And the bun is warm. And
and their spicy version is excellent.
It's yeah, when in doubt, always get the spicy chicken.
Well, I think you should present a chicken sandwich taste test to us.
Okay.
Yeah, but then, see, that's problematic. Again, now we're bringing in cold chicken.
Well, yeah, it's like, yeah, that's a little bit tough because when do we actually do the test? When do I have to pick them up? At that
you know
point,
what I'm
going to
do for
valid?
You?
Because then we're just getting, now we just got cold chicken.
Going to deliver it, get it Uber Eats to us?
Yeah.
We could do that.
That'd be better.
I'm not paying.
Because I remember once we had Mike Lynch do the McDonald's challenge.
Yeah.
And I had to bring that in. Like, I ended up picking that thing up at, like, 1:45, and Mike didn't end up eating it until, like, 4:30.
Yeah.
And I felt bad. Not only was he eating crappy, all that McDonald's, but it was just, like, cold. Cold-ass McDonald's sitting around. Ugh. Yeah, it was rough. Ugh.
Come on!
Where were we?
I don't know. Somehow we
oh,
got
Oh, we were
going to
talk about
and...
the Diddy jury.
Oh, yeah.
The Diddy J.
Yeah.
We're going to do that.
Not getting on that jury.
No,
he did a dir. He did a lot of dirs.
Hold on.
Achoo. Why would anyone want to be on a jury?
Excuse me.
That's a whole other problem.
I want to be on a jury.
I believe the only people that go on juries are morons.
Well, there is some truth to that in a sense that you're going to get weeded out probably if you're telling the truth.
Yeah.
But I think that the justice system is interesting. And I think that And I'd gladly not work here to be on juries.
You want to be? You want to be sequestered for like a month and a half? Cool.
It sounds like he wants to be a full time juror.
I just want.
I think you could try a lot of chicken sandwiches.
Jesus, hold on. F.
Wow. Like we hit a nerve there.
I just want to be on a jury, and I
told you.
I told you the story of me being kicked off of the out of the jury pool. I'm still to this day pissed about it because I was coerced, and that's exactly why I got kicked out.
Yeah. Well, you're problematic. I'd weed you out, too.
I'm coercible.
Yeah, I don't like it.
But it wasn't a cool crime or anything.
Yeah.
The guy, it was a kid, and he stole, like, a trailer. I was like,
hot crime.
This is going to really going to trial?
Yeah. I want nothing to do with that. I've never been called to jury duty.
What?
Never happened.
All right.
I sat in on a rape trial, and let me tell you, that thing was intense. I don't want to be the one deciding that thing. That was a dude's life on the line.
You don't think that's interesting?
Sucker.
Yeah, but it just was very, like, I had no stake in the matter. I didn't really know the person that well. It was more of a friend of a friend. But just sitting in that courtroom, man, I did not like it. It was interesting for a day, but the second day I went back, I couldn't take it. I was like, dude, this is just bad.
Well, the other thing, too, is don't you trust yourself to, like, do the right thing?
Yeah, I do, but I don't.
You know,
I don't want to. I don't want.
Yeah,
that.
But it, you're serving. Like it's important to have people on the jury
that aren't morons.
That will actually think through this the right way. And
yeah, then I just
Then you could be one of those.
Yeah, but
people.
You get on there with like 11 other mouth breathers, and you know.
Then you're fighting with them in the jury room.
Exactly.
You get free food. They'll bring you Chick-fil-A.
And that's why we had Chinese food for lunch. Not certain that I'm willing to take on that responsibility. I think I'd rather do the trailer case than I would someone's
fate.
Yeah,
it wasn't going to last long.
Yeah. Plus, I'm in there for a month and a half, and then like I'm deciding someone's life, and then there's like a death penalty case and all that. I don't want that on my conscience.
The defense attorney, he seemed like kind of a boob, too. I'm not going to lie. I was already against him.
Yeah, I see. Exactly. I am an ignorant boob. I do. I'm probably way too judgmental.
I was for the state.
I'd be immediately be like, can you be impartial? Probably not. I'm going to decide within the first 10 minutes. Yeah, you did that, S. Or you deserved it.
So how do you pick a jury for the Diddy case? That is next on The Fan. Okay, so, P. Diddy. Diddy, as they call him.
Yeah.
Puffy.
Puff Daddy. He's been known by many names. I believe Sean John is his actual name.
Sean John?
Sean Combs.
Yeah, Sean John
Combs.
Sean
might be his middle name.
Something like that, yeah.
Is that where the Sean John brand came from?
Yes. I unfortunately had a Sean John suit back in the day.
Yeah. Put him in jail.
Woo! It was back when the big oversized suit pants were a thing.
Those are coming back.
Yeah, the late 90s was a hell of a thing. Are those coming back, the big pant legs?
Well,
I mean, Steve Harvey's?
Just big oversized clothing is. Mm. Did you see the Met Gala?
Well, that's not really indicative of anything. That's just how much of a jackass you can dress.
What? Oh, you don't want to wear a dress that's a necktie.
Andre 3000 wore a piano.
Yeah, I liked it.
he had a piano on his back. I don't know what the significance of it was, but he had it on. So yeah, that's not. Yeah, I don't know what that Met Gala is, but it's just how ridiculous you can dress, and it's a thing. It's like a Halloween costume.
So they have 150 potential jurors for his case, and they asked them about. So they're trying to pick the jury right meow.
Yeah,
and then next week they're going to start opening arguments, and they're saying that all the jurors will remain anonymous, but there's 150 of them they're trying to weed through, and they asked them all about a list of celebrities that included Mike Myers, Kanye West, Kid Cudi, and Michael B. Jordan.
That would be Kid Cudi.
Oh. It should be Cudi.
It's not. It's K-U-D-I, I believe.
It's because his last name is Muscudi, and so he goes by Kid Cudi.
Thanks for bringing that to the table, Buck.
Well, context.
So they just say, do you like Mike Myers?
Or? No, they don't know. So no one knows why they brought up these particular, and there were other celebs on there, but what, Mike Myers.
But when they bring him out, it's like, do you have a positive or negative opinion?
Things like that, yeah. And they're weeding him out with those names, and they don't really know if they're going to be a part of the case or not.
Interesting. The only thing about Mike Myers, he was there when Kanye West was like, George Bush hates black people. Mike Myers was Mike there. Myers was there. Was like,
yeah, he was standing right next to him. Katrina relief.
Like, ah.
That's right.
Boy, Kanye has been involved in some wonderful awkward moments.
So, do we think Kanye is just doing bits to? I think he's stay relevant.
I think he's insane. I mean, his wife says that as well. I guess his former wife. Yeah, he's.
But that, do we think he's doing bits just to stay relevant?
No, I think he's off the deep end. Hmm. That dude has he's psychotic.
Yeah, I think he's experienced a mental break and doesn't take medications, and he's gone.
He bought a Super Bowl commercial to sell Nazi T-shirts. That's it. He put a Super Bowl ad out there, and then it took people to his website, and the only thing he had for sale was Nazi T-shirts. One T-shirt.
Last week, he came out and said he was having relations with his cousin for 8 years, dude, his male cousin.
Yeah, it's a whole thing. So, yeah, so they just ask you, like, the, I don't know. I think, is it one of those, like, they're trying to get people that, you're supposed to eliminate people that want to be on the jury, right?
I don't know about that. I think that...
In some cases, yeah, but also you're trying to eliminate people who you think will be unjust or unbiased.
Yes.
Hmm. How much baby oil have you used in the last year? Sure. Thought on sodomy. And you know, just general baby oil use.
Well, they did. There was one guy who said that the hotel video of Diddy throwing his lady to the ground and kicking her, you know, when he's in the towel.
Yeah.
He called that damning. And so they kicked him off.
You can't have that on there.
And then the defense tried to kick off a woman who worked for HBO because they made the Diddy documentary, The Fall of Diddy.
Yeah.
She had nothing to do with the documentary, and so they did not allow them to kick her off.
I'm just convinced that the only way you can get on a jury is to prove beyond a shadow of the doubt that you don't know D about anything. And I'm not certain those are the people I want deciding my fate.
Well, I heard an expert talk about this. Saying that that's not necessarily true in terms of they know people have heard of obviously heard Diddy's music or they've you know they know the story or they've even seen the video.
Yeah,
it's just that you want people who can put all of that aside and understand the system and say, hey, I can be impartial. How the hell you figure that out without you know like yeah, I mean.
I think it's a anybody skill. Can I think it's lie. A skill for lawyers to be able jury selection is a specific sort of attorney, and they have people that's what they do.
Yes, and that right there is fascinating.
Well, it's like poker, right? Why are people good poker players? Because they can read other people. So, like, I know like big law firms will have someone that specifically is just there for jury. That is their only job is jury selection.
So if you're lying to them. I'm guessing you're right. They can sniff that out.
But isn't that a weird, like, and that's like.
But why lie?
Our criminal justice system is better than most, but like stuff like that is weird. It goes back to the idea of if you've got a bunch of money and you can get someone that gets the right jury on there, like, I don't know. It just, that's why I just don't know if I want anything to do with it because it just seems you're gaming the system. It's not about whether you're innocent or not. It's about whether or not you have a good enough lawyer team that can, and you can find a jury that's dumb enough to buy your horse crap logic. It's the O.J. Simpson thing, right? Like, you just throw enough at people, you just have to create some sort of doubt. Casey Anthony, people that are obviously guilty, but then you get people on there, they're like, well, I guess I can buy an alternative theory to this.
And well, I can't believe, are you following this, did you watch the Karen Reed one?
I haven't seen the Karen Reed one.
You haven't seen it?
Yeah, I know it, but I haven't followed it.
It's pretty juicy.
Yeah.
And I am stunned that was a hung jury the first time.
Yeah.
Like, who in there was dead set that she had done that?
Yeah.
Because there is not a lot of evidence against her. So the whole statement of you just never know what a jury's going to do, that highlights the problem.
Yeah.
Because you get it's just the human element, and then you add the attorneys, who some better than others, or court-appointed versus big, high-dollar attorney. You know, that's... Yeah. Well, it's tough.
There's so many of these cases that you end up reading about, and whether it's a rural black guy in a fluent white community or vice versa, and you look at the jury and you're like, that's a jury of my peers. And it's just, I don't know. There's just so much that goes into it. Change of venues and what kind of judge you get. And again, I know no system's perfect. I'm just not certain that in the case of someone's life, like, you're literally determining someone's life, and sometimes it is life and death, let alone, you know, just going away to jail for 20 years. I just don't know if I want that on my shoulders. You know, I don't know if I need that in my life.
Here's a guy who says, I was in the jury pool. They asked what I thought of injury lawsuits. I straight up said, I don't think people deserve $1 million for being in pain just because you can blame someone. And I ended up on the jury. Some lady wanted almost $1 million for a frivolous injury.
Really? I'm guessing he didn't give it to her.
That's wild.
Yeah, I don't.
Maybe they were out of
challenges.
Out of challenges. Because you can only eliminate three each or something.
Yeah, the defense is like, yes.
Perfect. That guy will pay you.
Well, it's that, like, can you just say, like, the most offensive thing? Like, to get. Like, I feel like if you don't want to be on a jury, it's not that hard to get
Well,
up.
Hey, the Nazi, like, power hour. Where
exactly,
do I find
like,
that? Hey, have you guys ever heard of the Nazi power hour?
Yeah, can I just show
you're
up?
You're dismissed, sir.
I just show up and start spewing, like, white propaganda and be like, this will. And then next thing I know, I'm on the jury.
You know, when I was in the jury box being selected or,
yeah,
in this case, eliminated, most of the people that were eliminated had conflicts. But the judge wouldn't just say, you couldn't just say, I have to work or I have this. Mm-hmm. You had to explain to him what the conflict was.
Why you couldn't miss it.
Yeah, and he would, and some of them he said, no, that's not good enough. And others he said, okay, you're out of here.
Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of odd. Nobody really did the, like, in my instance, I probably saw 7 or 8 people get eliminated or just get flushed out of there.
Yeah.
And none of them, it seemed that none of them did it on purpose in terms of, like,
yeah,
just the easy way out.
Yeah.
Yeah. It I didn't see that. Well, again, I kind of hoped I did. Yeah.
The only, like I said, the only real trial I've sat in on was the rape trial. And I was watching the jury. I, like, you know, I was like,
yeah.
And again, what do I know, right? I'm just some idiot. And by the way, there was a big column block in my view. I thought it was very weird. The Vancouver courtroom, what's that column doing in the middle? And the judge was kind of a hot. And I was always afraid that the judge was, like, going to, like, I don't know. You know, the whole thing just made me nervous. But I was watching the jury, and I just thought that the jury looked checked out, like, half the time. Like, one dude, like,
I think
like,
happens, man.
Yeah, like,
pretty
I look,
boring.
Yeah, they just, because it.
Isn't that part of the defense, though? Or well, part of the, yeah.
But just part of the defense. Due process,
boring.
It drags, and
yeah,
you're in
drags.
A sterile indoor room, and like.
It is not like Law and Order. There is so much minutia.
Yeah.
And I was looking over there after, like, the third hour. I was looking over at the jury, man, and I'm telling you, it felt like half of those people weren't listening one bit.
No,
at
people
all.
Are sleeping with their eyes open, man.
And
it's
just,
like,
kind of like looking around and staring off. And like we were, and then they went to recess, and I went out there, and I was like, man, if I was the guy and that was my, again, that's my freedom, that's my life, and I'm looking over the jury, I want to be like, hey, wake up! Like, pay attention, my life!
Ready, break!
Yeah, something? Like, can we get some Red Bull, get some Monsters over there?
Ron, are you paying attention? Nope.
That's what I
well,
felt
that's
like.
Why you pay an attorney. He's got to wake him up.
Yes.
With his hot
dude,
cross
man.
X.
This courtroom's scary. I don't know. Courtrooms freak me out.
All right, guys. That's enough of that crap. Did you see who?
We never did say that the one guy got booted for the weed, right?
Oh yeah. Sorry.
Go ahead. there was one juror and I somehow it got brought up, but he said that he smoked weed every day, and they were like, "Is it going to be problematic because you're not smoking weed every day?" And the guy's like, "Yeah." So they booted him. Apparently, you're not allowed to smoke weed when you're on the jury.
I do knew that.
Which, by the way, is a great if you want to get off a jury. By the way. I like to roll a bone when I wake up in the morning, do a little wake and bake. Apparently, that gets you kicked off.
Now, which side do you suppose booted him?
Y'all will buy some drugs.
I think all sides.
They all mutually agree, yeah, we don't want this guy.
You can't have the
idiot stoner out of here.
I just love that they were like, sir, is that going to be a problem?
You
the
don't
guy's
think
like,
the defense
yep.
wants the stoner?
I don't know.
They probably want the stoner.
I just thought that was interesting, that was the question. Can you stop smoking weed?
No.
Yeah, baby.
All right, well, thanks for coming.
You know Rod Stewart?
I do know Rod Stewart. Not personally,
him?
But...
You remember Rod Stewart?
If you want my body and you think I'm sexy, come... Isn't that Rod Stewart?
Yeah.
I do know that.
He sang that.
Forever Young? That's always... I always associate that with Rod Stewart.
Ooh, greatest Rod Stewart song.
I'm going Forever Young. Maggie May, perhaps.
Ooh, good one.
I'm
gonna look that up. See what they say. See what the kids. See what the people say.
I don't think the kids are saying anything.
The kids. Who's Rod Stewart?
I don't see what the kids.
I don't think
say
the 15 year olds are like, man.
What do they think about Kid Cutie? That's what I want to know. He was the original Kid Cutie.
He was
Rod Stewart.
You know, he's a crossover entertainer. He is an actor as well. Scott Muscutti.
Rod Stewart?
No, Scott Muscutti.
Oh. Anybody seen Rod Stewart lately? Because
no, I have not.
Yeah, I'm wondering how things are going.
I'd go if he came. If he was on like the ALN circuit. I'd go listen to Rod Stewart.
Yeah, I think he's still playing bigger arenas than that.
Is he?
Yeah, well, bigger venues. He the ladies love him.
Okay.
You know, you can't. The ladies will never ditch him. They'll show up with their crochet needles and sit there and wait for him.
Well, dude, he's playing Downtown Train. Sign me up.
Downtown Train.
It's great. That's a great tune. Are you poo-pooing?
Give me his list. What do you got?
So this is according to smoothradio.com. Should we break and then come back?
Yes,
feel like
we should.
We'll wait.
Okay, so Rod Stewart did that show with 3.5 million people in Rio.
Yeah.
Remember that? We talked about that concert. Somebody else did that recently, and they got 2 million.
Oh, it's not 3 million.
That's a big-ass show.
Big-ass show.
We'll tell you who that was next. Here's Buck. So Rod Stewart, I forget what year this was. I gotta look up what year this was.
What are the kids saying about him?
Well, they compare him to Kid Cutie.
Oh, yeah. Naturally, as one does.
Stewart, now 80, by the way, looks terrible.
He's 80 years old?
Yes.
Damn.
Yeah, I know. Now, Barry Manilow's coming to town. Remember we talked about that the other day?
Standing on stage.
He looks better than Barry Manilow.
Yeah. Well, Manilow's 81. Manilow's 1 year older.
And Manilow has all this surgery. It looks like Rod Stewart has just let himself age.
Yeah.
I don't think he looks that bad. I mean,
well, he just looks like super old Rod Stewart.
He's for 80, you know.
Whereas Barry Manilow looks like
he's plastic.
Bruce Jenner.
Yeah.
Or Caitlin, I guess.
Yeah.
But, and that's not, I mean, look, he looks fine. It's just a lot, I'm saying a lot of plastic surgery.
Yes.
It's just odd. Anyway, but to your point, well, I don't know. I think some would say Barry Manilow looks better.
Mm-hmm.
And so that would be a feather in the cap of plastic surgery.
Sure.
You know.
I just think when you go overboard on plastic surgery, I always think you look better if you just let yourself age a little bit. And who's Rod Stewart trying to impress? I guarantee he has a hot model wife.
So anyway, that Copacabana Beach concert, whatever year that was, Rod Stewart drew 3.5 million people.
Yes.
Which I don't have any idea how they count that. It was a free concert. I'm sure that number's exaggerated.
It's a lot of people.
But they're saying that's the biggest ever
concert ever
audience for a concert.
Yeah.
Now, and again, you get into technicalities here. Madonna played there last year, same beach in Rio. She drew 1.6 million, and they said that it was the largest audience ever for a standalone concert.
Ah.
Because Rod's was part of a bigger festival.
Bigger thing, yeah.
So that was 1.6. Now, this year, just, I don't know the actual date, but it was this year, 2025. Do you know who broke the record, who went there and did a show recently? 2.1 million attendees at the same place.
Good
they
Lord.
Say it is the largest ever audience for a female performer of all time ever in the world.
Okay, well, it's a female performer. I was going to say someone like Ed Sheeran.
No.
So female, I'm going to say either Swift, Beyonce.
Nope. Next best.
Swift,
well,
Beyonce.
I should say next best. But
Rihanna, Pink.
If you're going a
Chappell
top...
Roan.
Ooh, that's a good guess, but no. If you're going to top three female artists right
Taylor
now,
Swift,
I'm guessing you're going Beyonce, Taylor Swift, and this woman.
Beyonce,
she's
Taylor
enormous.
Swift. Who am I missing?
Lady Gaga.
Oh, Lady Gaga. Oh.
Lady Gaga.
And dare I say,
Gaga.
Maybe controversial to some, by far the best of those three.
No question.
Lady Gaga is wonderful.
She's more talented than those other
two. And it's not even, she's more talented than the other two put together. She's great.
But she got 2.1 million people.
That's a butt ton of people.
For Mayhem on the Beach.
Would you want to be? I would not want to be there.
No, that's, and like, do you even hear it? Like, you kind of hear the music?
I don't know.
You know?
That's
But you don't really hear it?
I don't know. I just don't want to be in a crowd of 2 million people. That's No thanks.
You know who? Oh, hard by pass. The way, what did they put for Rod Stewart's top song?
So it's tough. So there's different rankings. He has four number one hits. So if you wanted to go with that,
what were his four number ones?
Tonight's the Night, Gonna Be All Right.
Ooh, that's a good song.
All for Love. And that was with Bryan Adams and Sting.
Ugh.
Do You Think I'm Sexy and Maggie May.
Okay.
So
three of those are good.
Those are his four number one hits, and almost every ranking from Rolling Stone, this is goldradio.com, Maggie May is viewed as his opus.
That's what everybody says.
Yeah. And then after that, you've got
that's Wake Up Maggie, I Think I Got Something to Say to You.
Some other ones that are up there. You Wear It Well. The Killing of Georgie is up there quite a bit. People like Young Turks.
Ugh.
And then you get in a hodgepodge of, I mean, he's got a lot of hits. He's had 37 songs that are in the Billboard top 50.
Oh, you know what song I liked? You're In My Heart.
Mm-hmm. Great tune.
That's a good song.
Yes. I really like Downtown Train, and I like Forever Young.
Forever Young is my number one. It's kind of anthem-y.
Yes. And that's like probably when I was growing up. Like,
is that the one where he's riding on the hayride?
Yeah, he's riding on the hayride. He's got the little kid that he's like holding, you know.
The instrumental intro is really good. Da-da-da.
Yep. Da-da-da. So there's just Rod Stewart's great.
That was really good, Buck.
Wasn't that great?
But yes, You're In My Heart is a great tune. That by the way, that peaked at number four on the...
Really? That didn't get to number one, eh?
No, it only had the four. Forever Young peaked at 12.
What year was...
Yeah, this is...
It's great song.
I love this.
Da-da-da. Wasn't this a little bit later in his...
This was 1989.
Okay.
So his peak was in the 70s.
Yeah, he
was
one of the
most.
The
he was one of the most successful artists of the 1970s.
Yeah, the ladies loved him.
Yes,
and I mean, look at him.
Well, I mean, other than the hair, I mean, and I think he was a professional soccer player as well.
Really?
Yeah, I think early on, I think he was a professional soccer player. He was really good.
By all accounts, a pretty cool dude too.
Look, if you're trading lives with someone, you can do a lot worse than such a great tune.
You got
some guys have all the luck in the Motown song.
Oh, some guys have all the luck. Yeah,
there's so many of them.
I forgot about that song. Yeah,
Baby Jane's great. Ain't Love a Bitch. He's great. First Cut is the Deepest.
Yeah.
Although that was a remake. That was a Cat Stevens song, but it was a big hit for him.
A lot of great hits for Rod.
Yes.
What's Kid Cudi ever done?
Kid Cudi. Good times.
I'm going to keep it here so I can watch the end of the Cavs game.
Are they getting ready to gack this thing away?
Yeah, oh, no. Well, it's down
they're
to five.
They're up by five with 35 seconds. They can't possibly blow this, can they?
In the NBA, that's not... What do you mean they can't... What? Were you watching last night? What is this?
It's Kid Cudi, baby.
Ugh.
I know what I'm going to be listening to on my way home.
Kid Cudi.
It will not be Kid Cudi. Rod Stewart will be on the Spotify playlist.
What are you going to pull up? Are you going to pull up an album or a song?
No.
Down to three.
We're going to do the... We will just do the best of Rod Stewart. You throw on Spotify and then you just, you know...
Like, this is Rod Stewart?
This is Rod Stewart.
Yeah.
And then you know what? You let DJ Ghost Steve, you know, just throw it out there.
Have we underrated Rod Stewart all these years? Is he underrated?
I think in modern times, yes. Now, if you ask someone that was like 60 or 70, no. But I think the modern... People like
he kind of gets lost.
Lost in the shuffle.
Nobody ever talks about him, dude. He was greatness.
Yes, someone said turning off primetime to watch YouTube videos of Rod Stewart. And by the way,
hey,
it's a good
move.
I can't fault you for that.
I can't.
You ever go
we're
down?
We're almost done.
You ever go down the YouTube music video rabbit hole
all the time?
To be fair, Rod Stewart could probably wait 15 minutes.
I can't
tell you the number of times like I'm about ready to go to sleep and then like what.
Yeah,
David Lee Roth, California Girls on YouTube, and the next
you
thing,
watch,
and next thing you know, 2.5 hours later,
do you watch videos or concerts? Because I always watch live. I like to see what they do live.
Yeah.
The bands that I haven't seen live.
Sure, but I would say that I get roped into more of the music videos.
By the way, David Lee Roth.
Yeah,
you mentioned him, so I have to say this.
Yuck.
What?
Yeah, David Lee Roth.
Dude, are you icking David
I'm
Lee Roth?
I'm icking David Lee Roth. Yes. He ruined Van Halen.
David Lee Roth is returning to the concert stage. 5 years after his last full live show and nearly 4 years after announcing his retirement. Ladies and gentlemen, David Lee Roth is back.
do not waste your money. The only concert that I've ever been more disappointed in than seeing Van Halen at the end with David Lee freaking Roth was when Bob Dylan came to Portland. That's the only concert that can compare for sucktitude. David Lee Roth butchered that entire show.
So he performed May 3rd at a rock festival in Columbia, Maryland, along with Sebastian Bach, Lita Ford, and Ace Frehley.
God. Sebastian Bach.
By the way, that guy, you want to talk about, and I was at that David Lee Roth show you're talking about. Yes, he was objectively awful.
Awful.
But, and I mean, it was like, it was awkwardly bad.
Yeah.
But Bach was equally bad. Do you remember when we went down for the Ducks title game and they were, it was in Arizona. Yeah, I think that's the one where they played.
That was Ohio State.
No, that was in Dallas.
Yeah,
no, that was Auburn. It was Auburn. The Auburn game.
Yep.
They had, that was when Sebastian Bach did that organ song. And they brought him out there.
Oh my God.
That was, because that song kind of slapped.
Yeah. Oh my God, and the end of this game.
They brought him back. Oh God, they're going to win.
Oh my God.
Wait, you're ahead of us. Ah, we hit a three to win it.
He missed the second. He missed the second free throw. Got the offensive board and hit the three.
Indiana's going to win.
Wow. Oh,
1.1 seconds.
Wow.
Here's the heave. Oh my God. So, what did you just say, Sukanik?
How could they possibly? They were up.
There's
five.
No way.
They were up like five. With
five is
like
nothing.
30 seconds left. They had the ball.
Five is nothing in the NBA.
So let me.
Do you watch the NBA? Wait, don't answer that.
So hold on. So. The Indiana, was that Haliburton? Missed the free throw, got his own rebound, and then hit the three to win by one?
And I, yeah.
Did he miss it on purpose?
I think he had to because they were down two.
Well, then he just took the ball out to the top of the key and he just shot. I mean.
Oh, and then he did this Pedro Serrano celebration?
Wow. Yeah, he did.
With the marbles? Come on. Marbles.
Holy F.
That was awesome.
Dude, the playoffs are bananas.
Pacers,
and by the way,
2-0?
That's a great. That's a great. You have no marbles.
Mm-hmm.
Holy crap.
Do we like Haliburton now?
I know.
Because his dad's not around.
His dad's a giant douche, so no, but.
All right, we get it. What was I going to tell you?
I don't know.
We'll wrap it up next on The Fan.
Dude, that final in Indiana is insane. The Cavaliers were up double digits basically that entire game. They were up 7 with a minute left. They were up 5 with 30 seconds left in the ball, and they lost the game.
All right, new game. Worst choke, them or the Thunder last night?
God,
So the Thunder were up 11 with 4.5 left.
Yeah.
So that was a little bit more of a slow burn.
Yeah.
I thought Oklahoma City really gacked that away based off of how they handled the game.
Yeah.
But we were on the air, so I didn't really get to see how Cleveland screwed that up.
Yeah,
so
all I saw was Haliburton was at the line, down by 3, with 12 seconds left, made the first. It didn't look like he intentionally missed the second. I think he was trying to make it, and then they were going
to
foul.
With 12 seconds, he wouldn't have been trying to miss
it. Yeah, he misses the front end of it. The ball gets tipped around. Haliburton grabs the free throw, or grabs the rebound, after it gets knocked around, sprints straight backwards to the three-point line, does a little shake and bake, and then drills a three.
Well, up.
And then does the I have big balls celebration.
Up 5 with 35 seconds left.
Yeah.
I think you either got to turn it over a bunch or miss a bunch of free throws, right?
Yeah,
miss a couple free throws.
Yeah, and I didn't see. I was with
Couldn't
you. Like, we were doing the show and I looked up and was like, what? Well, Buck's going crazy in there. We're like, what? And then.
We were very focused.
We were very focused. Well, we were talking about Rod Stewart. You know.
That's right. Leave it to this show to not pay attention to a major NBA story in order to discuss Rod Stewart's greatest hits.
That's what we had going
on.
It's
very on brand.
That is very on brand.
The Warriors and T-Wolves. Now, I'm excited about this. They're just underway. This is my favorite series of all four series. 7-6 Warriors dominating early.
Yeah, I would say this would be one that I'm probably most excited to see. And I definitely have the other ones, I wouldn't say I have a big rooting interest. I am pulling for Golden State. I would like to see Steph do it one more time. I think it'd be really cool.
I like this little white guy the Warriors have. What's that guy's name? Buck?
That would be Brandon Podziemski.
Yeah.
A.K.A. Hippie Dante DiVincenzo.
He's the rookie, right?
He's a
second year player.
Where did he play college ball?
Santa Clara. Hmm. But I think he's one of those kids that transferred a couple places.
Nice little player.
good little player. Nothing to be ashamed of. And then in hockey,
great little player.
Hurricanes and Capitals going to overtime.
Hey, tomorrow I want to talk about Winnipeg.
Oh, there's your boy Pods.
You want to talk about my Jets? They're not really my Jets.
Our Jets. Yeah, I want to talk about Winnipeg.
Okay.
Not the Jets.
No.
The city.
The city of Winnipeg?
Yeah.
Okay. Hot Winnipeg, but not Jets talk.
Well, kind of the Jets. I mean, that's the reason we're talking about them.
Sure.
Because the Jets are doing things in the hockey and making
they're
goals.
Doing things in the hockey and the plays.
They're making goals and stuff.
Yeah.
Winning series. Yeah. But I don't know. I just think it's interesting that a team is in Winnipeg. Mm.
Well, there was a team in Winnipeg, and then there was not a team in Winnipeg, and then there was a team in Winnipeg again. Yeah. It seems like a bit of an unlikely place to have a hockey team, but, you know.
It's a little bit like having football in Green Bay.
Yeah, it's probably the equivalent of that.
Yes. Well, okay, so I went down this rabbit hole already today, but we just never got to it, so it's in my notes. We'll talk about it tomorrow. But the topic I thought of was, what are the, in at least in the States, what are the most obscure
sports cities?
Pro sports.
Yeah. It's got to be Green
franchise
Bay.
Homes.
Yeah.
Green Bay is by far number one. I'll just go ahead and give it to you.
Yeah, it's number one.
It's by far number one because, in terms of population, right? Because it's only 105,000 people live in that town.
How many does Winnipeg have?
800.
Okay, so that's a little, I mean, that's small, but.
Yeah, but it's not Green
Bay. It's not Green Bay.
So we'll get to that tomorrow.
Winnipeg may be number two.
Here is Schulte.
Duval.
See him pulling up in there. Why do you say that?
Well, Jacksonville's not a very.
Oh.
That's not a. That's considered a weird kind of obscure market.
Yeah, but it's got millions of people.
How many people Jacksonville has?
I'm going to say a couple million. A couple million. I see Schulte in there. That means it's hot corner time. Patrick. Joe. The whole gang is here. At least I think. I don't know. Tune in to find out. We'll be back tomorrow. 3 to 7 on the Fingernet.
Red chips of space.